Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Off With Your Weekend. I'm one of your hosts, Logan, and I am joined by the other special host,
Shiitake the Mushroom Sprite, and we have some very exciting guests today. Logan, you want to tell us who they are?
It's Travis and Susan.
Woo! Yay, Susan!
Why isn't it Susan and Travis?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. That's right. We can switch it up. Susan and Travis.
Yay. That sounds better.
Fine. That's whatever.
You say exciting, but I think you underestimate just how boring we are in real life.
So do you want to just, I guess, take a second and introduce both of yourselves?
Do you want me to go first, Susan?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, your name was first in earlier, so I just want to be sure.
We're saving the best for last.
So I'm Travis. I'm with the PB&J Circus, and I eat fire. I swallow swords. I lay on nails. Sometimes I use the whip. I have walked on glass. I've walked on Lego. Gosh, there's a lot of things that I do.
I make fun of Travis.
Susan says that like she does nothing in the show, but she also eats fire and lays on the nails. She holds things for me while I target them with the whip. Oh. So, you know, Susan is doing a lot of things that she had to be trained for, not just makes fun of me.
But I make fun of you.
Yes.
Did you always do it as part of the show, Susan, or did you slowly get like a frog boiling in water?
No, I was sitting in the audience and he said, let's see what happens if I light Susan on fire. And that's how it started.
Well, I think we have some beef to settle. So I made the bold claim that you started doing Ren Fairs in the 90s, and you pushed back on that.
So I started performing in the 90s, but I did not start Ren Fairs until 2003. In 2003, I did a little Ren Fair in Covington, Kentucky called the River Raid Renaissance Festival. That's the very first one I ever did. And then I did the Ohio Renaissance Festival later that year. Now, I did go to the Ohio Renaissance Festival as a patron in 1997. As far as working then, no. I started eating fire about 2 years after that, and then 4 years after that, I started working Ren Fairs.
Do you remember your experience when you first went to Ohio, like as a patron?
So we went for one of Susan's coworkers' weddings. Someone she worked with was getting married there, and you know, I had heard about it because I grew up in the Cincinnati area. So I knew about the Renaissance Festival, but I just never had a chance to go until then. And some of the wedding packages includes like guest passes. So she had given Susan some guest passes. And I'm like, well, it's free. Let's go. So it's hard to say. I did see a couple shows at the time.
Were you already performing at the time or like as doing other performances?
I was a magician at the time. A very bad magician. And that's why I learned to eat fire around 98, 99. Like, I would go and do parties, like 8-year-old kids' birthday parties, and they would bust me on the tricks. They're like, this is how you did that. And I was like, okay, they're right. So I learned to eat fire because that was something that if a kid said, I know how you do that, I'd be like, yeah, it's real.
Did you train Susan how to eat fire, or did you learn that through?
No, Travis taught me when he brought me up on stage and just said, let's do this.
Is there a lot of training that goes into that, or is it just you get over the taste?
More you get over the fear of fire in your face.
Right. 90 to 95% of fire eating is being comfortable with the fire being right there in your face. I can teach most people how to do basic fire eating in an afternoon.
But Travis is picky on which fuel he uses because he says other ones taste bad.
What is the go-to fuel then? Because I got to know.
Coleman's camping fuel is what I use and what a lot of other fire performers use. It's very similar to kerosene in chemical composition.
But he has to have the name brand.
Yes. There is a Walmart knockoff, and it tastes like they've added soap to it.
Ew.
And that's fine for people who just juggle fire or spin fire or, you know, do other things with fire besides put it in their mouth. No, I'm not going to put that in my mouth. Fuel itself tastes bad enough. When you put soap on top of that, that's awful.
He's like a bougie fire eater.
What got you interested in being a magician when you first started being a magician?
Oh, I was always interested in magic since I was a little kid. There were, you're both probably way too young to remember this, but I'll pop the Gen X people. There was a show called That's Incredible, and they used to have magicians on. And we would also have, like, when I was young, you know, back in the 1970s and early 80s, they had, like, variety shows where they would have magicians, they would have plate spinners and jugglers and all this, and I always just thought magic was great. I mean, now you'll get TV special here and there, or like a, I guess, a Netflix special now. Other people I was inspired by is people like Evel Knievel, and Gonzo the Great from The Muppets.
Did you ever get to see Evel Knievel live?
No. I saw his son, Robbie, because he was at Kings Island, but that's the closest I ever came.
We have the same birthday.
When he jumped all the buses?
Yes, he jumped all the buses at Kings Island. Yes.
I remember that. I'm not too young for that.
Do you want to talk about how you started working at Kentucky?
I mean, assuming people have been to Kentucky, when you come in to, when you come in through the woods where, you know, you park in the parking lot, then you walk through the woods to get to the ticket booth, there's that little bridge that you go across. I helped build that bridge.
The kissing bridge, right?
I think it's kissing bridge now, yes. Some of those nails were in my nose before they went into the bridge. We also helped clear out the woods. Like, we were raking out all the vines and the and everything from the woods so that it was like their clear path to get through there.
You helped dig the mud pit.
We helped dig the mud pit. So we were there the year before it opened. We were around before the fair opened and helped do a lot of things. So I was down there in like 2005 helping out with things. And we're the only act who's been there since the very beginning, every single year.
Was Ed still the owner back then, or was it someone else?
Ed was always one of the owners, as along with his wife, Linda. And there were two other owners in the beginning named Ludmilla and Mark. But what was it, Susan, like your three or four that they left?
Have there been any changes that are still there, I guess? Like any big things that were kind of there when it first started that are still there now?
I mean, the joust field has always been kind of how it is now. I think they built the dais where the king sits. That got built later, but the joust field's always kind of been like that. Main Street's been...
I mean, Michaela's has always been where Michaela's is.
Yes. The first year, Michaela's was a tent. Or the first 2 years, I think. Year three, it was just a roof. There weren't any walls. And then it was like year four before they had walls and doors.
Did you apply to be an act there?
We just showed up day one. No, we applied, and he had hired us before I came down and started helping with the building, because he said, hey, there's a lot of work to do if you want to volunteer to help any, that we had already been hired at that point. I'm not that magnanimous that I'm going to go down and work for free.
So this was my first year at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I am so impressed by it. Like, I've been doing fairs for not very long time, since like right after COVID. But I've been going to fairs since like right after COVID. But, like, since the Spoon Society blew up, we've been, like, trying to go to different fairs and, like, get chapters out there. So we got to go to Kentucky. And that, it was very cool. I am very impressed with the layout and just, like, the overall theming of it. Like, Ohio's great and I love it. But Kentucky, 10 out of 10. I am impressed.
Now, I'll say Kentucky changed a lot after COVID. Pre-COVID, you might not recognize it. There was a lot less vendors. A lot of the space wasn't utilized. That whole couple rows of vendors over by the joust field, but that wasn't there. Direwolf is the new addition. The Oakhaven is a new addition.
The King stage changed a lot.
The King stage was rebuilt, and the King's pub was put in after they rebuilt the King stage. There's a lot that's changed. I have some early pictures. The giant doors with the really cool intricate metalwork on it, That wasn't there the first year. They just had a rope going between the two towers that they would open up and let people in.
Humble beginnings, but vast improvement, it sounds like to me. Like, my God, like, I took my mom to Kentucky with me one of the weekends. And, so we just, like, drove down on a whim. And she's just like, I'm coming to Kentucky every year from now on. I love Ohio, but this is my new favorite.
Both have their own kind of vibe to them, and I don't want to say one's better or one's worse, but they're very different. If you're not into the crowds as much, Kentucky is a lot better. Now, that's not to say that there won't be lines sometimes, there won't be, but I have never seen Kentucky get like Ohio, where it's shoulder to shoulder in some spots.
I just live back in the Griffin's Nest, so I don't really deal with a lot of it because nobody ever makes adventures all the way back there every weekend.
So that area hasn't got crowded, too crowded yet.
Yes, yes.
The whole Whimsy Woods, I think, people are still discovering it because a lot of people just come in and they walk that loop, and then that's the fair for them. There are a lot of changes that are happening in Ohio this year, too, that I, some of them I can talk about, some of them I can't. Entrance is going to be a little different. Instead of just being able to turn left or right, you're going to be able to go straight ahead, which matters a lot when you, if you get there right at opening. And some of the areas have been rethemed, but I think they're kind of waiting to put that on social media before I mention what that is all about.
Yeah, we saw the New World Knoll retheme at Celtic Fest. That looked amazing. Mm-hmm. We also saw the new entrance kind of area, so like the new courtyard, which looks great too. It's kind of like a courtyard or like a quad. We can go play hacky sack out there like college kids.
Yeah, kind of the new gazebo area. So that whole New World Knoll and some of the other stuff that's been designed, he actually did Whimsy Woods. There's a guy named Tristan, and if you could get him to come on the show, he'd be a really interesting guest for you because he's kind of their designer. Yeah.
So are you kind of excited to see what the new stage is going to be like for this year?
I'm excited to see what it's going to be. It's going to be in the same general area, but it is going to be more over in the shade, is what I was told. And there's a story behind why the pub view was the way it was, and there's a lot of factors in it. Basically, they built it over the old wash tub because they didn't want to tear it down because it was concrete.
Yeah, that was the original wash stage.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting some lore here.
Yeah, so that was a giant concrete tub under there. And when they tore it down, I was like, oh, you should tell me what all you find that's living under there. Because we always had, you could see things had dug under it.
I wonder how many snakes they found.
They said they found one snake. I suspect that there were either raccoons or groundhogs under it. I never actually saw them. I will tell you, if you ever go to an event that goes into the evening when it's warm out, like I think Celtic Fest does that, check out the pond because there are some huge frogs that just come out and sit on the wall at night, and that's cool.
So, yeah, we go to bike night on Thursdays, and we can get to the pond, so I'm going to definitely have to look at that this Thursday and see if I see some frogs in there. I am there every Thursday from, like, 6 p.m. to, like, almost, like, 9 or 10 for bike night.
Yeah, so there's a little more festival lore.
Let's talk a little bit about the show. So you do some fire eating, you know, lay on the bed of nails. How did your show always start out, you know, kind of like that order, or have you been slowly adding new and new, like, different acts and stuff to the show as it's gone on?
The show has evolved over time. Back in 2003, I worked with a guy who was just some other guy who lived near me who happened to be a sword swallower. And we did the show in 03. It was a lot different then. I did most of the fire eating. He did the sort of swallowing. And then we would come together and do the bed of nails. Similar to what's done now, but not as good. He learned how to eat, how to do all of the sideshow stunts, how to swallow swords and such, more as a party trick. Like, he wanted to impress girls at parties by doing these party tricks. That ended shortly after that. Then my actual brother, we used to be called the Pickled Brothers, circus. My actual brother came on. He's like a world record breaking juggler. He had like at one time four different records I think he broke. Oh, up until 2015, he was like full time with the show. Then 2016 to 2018-ish, he was kind of part time. He would still come and do some shows, not all shows. And then after that, he went full time to rock climbing. He is a full-time professional rock climber now. Which, bet you didn't know that was a job. That's a job.
That's what a trajectory there. Like, that's so interesting. Like, that, all right. Does like the circus, like fire eating, sword swallowing stuff, like, is that like a family thing that you guys have always done, or is that something just between you and your brother that you just like learned?
So I started doing it, and then my brother, he went to the state fair with me one year. We were just at the Kentucky State Fair just to go. And he saw some jugglers. Kentucky law says that you get an excused absence if you go to the state fair.
Huh.
He was like, hey, let's go to the state fair. All these jugglers. And he was like, I bet you I could learn to do that. And like 2 days later, he was juggling. So then after a while, he joined the show. I did have a great grandfather who was like a carny performer. He did what's called the Wall of Death, which is where you ride a motorcycle in like a giant wooden bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And he also, he would wrestle. Because back in the day, wrestling was like a carnival thing. But that was...
And now we just all watch on pay-per-view.
That was my mom's dad's dad. He did it. I never met him. He passed before I was born. Eric and I. Eric is my brother. Did it for many years. Susan kind of worked her way into the act where she was kind of part-time. Early on, she had a job where she wasn't off every weekend, like her mundane job. And then eventually she got one where she was off every weekend. And then Eric wanted to go and do other things anyway. So it became Susan and I. We were still the Pickle Brothers Circus until 2019. And then everyone kept saying, why is the Pickle Brothers? There's like a guy and a girl. What's going on? We changed it to AB&J Circus in 2020, which was the worst year to change her name.
I don't think I ever saw, if I did, I don't remember you perform before 2020. Because I didn't really go to the High Renaissance Festival maybe every 1 to 2 years would go.
Well, and Eric was never at Ohio.
Right. You would have had to have been at Kentucky before 2016 to have seen him unless you came to Texas and North Carolina.
Did you do only Kentucky for a long time, or were you branching out to other festivals when you first started as well?
Well, like I said, we did Ohio in 2003. We had some, let's say, contract disputes with the old ownership. Then we didn't do Ohio until 2016, which is when the new ownership took over, the current ownership. But we did other things. We did, there was a thing called the Old West Festival that was in Williamsburg, Ohio. And that ran, I think, 6 weekends, like right in the middle of Ohio. So even if we would have wanted to do Ohio, we couldn't because we were doing that. There was a show in Raleigh, which was just called the North Carolina Renaissance Festival. Not the Carolina Renaissance Festival in Charlotte, but we did that for 3 years until they folded. We've done guest weekends at the Tennessee Renaissance Festival.
Council Bluffs.
Yeah, we did a show in Council Bluffs called a Renaissance Festival of the Midlands, which is... Council Bluffs is in Iowa, sorry. We've done Renaissance festivals in Indiana.
So do you not really do any festivals outside of Kentucky and Ohio? Like besides like one or like a few weekends here and there?
Pretty much now. I don't know if you know this, but I'm very old.
We're old.
We did a festival in Tennessee this year. We did the East Tennessee Renaissance Festival. That was just one weekend though. And we do things besides Renaissance festivals. You know, we've done colleges, we've done street festivals, theaters. It's gotten to where I'm at an age where I don't want to drive more than a few hours away. I don't want to, you know, get into the car and drag all my props. At one point we were doing wasn't quite a Renaissance festival, the Dickens Festival in Galveston, Texas. And that's like almost a 19-hour drive.
Logan told me about the Old West Festival, and I got so excited about it because, like, I'm a sucker for anything with an outfit. So now I need to go to one of these like Old Western festivals and just like see what it's about.
Well, you're in Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Dogwood Pass. Look that up. It is in southeastern Ohio in Pike County. The town is called Beaver, Ohio, and they have like multiple weekends. They start in the spring. They go up through August. They shut down for a little bit, then they reopen as like a haunted western town for Halloween.
Oh, that's
then
fun.
They shut down after Halloween and they convert over to like the Christmas Old West town or like until New Year's.
So they're like on and off year round almost. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they take off January through April usually, and a lot of that is them doing repairs and building new stuff. Because what that is, that's a guy named Mike, or Frog is what we call him. He built a saloon like so that he could dress up as a cowboy and play poker with his friends. And then he started building other buildings around it.
Yeah, if you need a saloon, you have a saloon, you need a jail.
Yeah, and then you need a post office, and you need this and that. So now he has this whole little town on his farm out there in Pike County. And he started inviting people, inviting the public to come. And then they started having like reenactments, and they would hire us and a couple other acts, like just to come in like one or two weekends a year.
Oh, it's so cute. I'm looking on Google right now. It's so cute.
It really is. So the Old West Fest was a little different because it was all like big warehouse buildings with facades in front of it. This is all like built as if it was a Western town.
I like that. It gives it more of like an authentic.
It really is. To it. Yeah. It, with awesome. Tripping hazards and all.
Logan, we're going on a road trip.
Road trip. So you've been to a lot of like festivals and conventions and stuff like that. What are your guys' favorite festival or convention you've been at and performed at?
Almost every gig we do has like a lot of really good about it. When people ask me like, oh, do you like Kentucky Renaissance or Ohio Renaissance better? I'm like, I like them both equally for different reasons.
Yeah, they're very different things working them.
But those two are very close to my heart because, you know, number one, I've been at Kentucky since the very beginning. Like I said, I helped build some of the stuff there. And Ohio is just such a, like, an experience, you know, it's like everyone knows about it.
Number one Renaissance festival in the world.
Woo woo!
Well, in the country.
In the world.
Probably in the world, because I don't think there's, like, really big ones outside of the U.S.
There's a few in Europe. Like, there's one in Germany. Okay. There's one in, I think, Denmark. Yeah.
And France has that Viking-themed theme park.
Now, that's a road trip. We should definitely go there.
France is not a road trip, Logan. France is a flight.
It's a flight trip.
You can go on a boat.
Well, aren't you guys going to France this year? Or is it next year? Going to Disney?
Next year, we're
going
to go to Paris. And we're spending half the time in Paris proper and half the time Disneyland Paris.
Ooh, how fun.
But that is that's our 30th wedding anniversary. So we decided we needed a big trip to celebrate it.
What are you looking forward to the most at Disneyland Paris?
Ooh,
they don't have a Jungle Cruise.
Disney's favorite is the Jungle Cruise, but their Haunted Mansion is a lot different concept. They call it the Phantom Manor, and it's he's looking forward to it being different. Yeah. Now I want to see the catacombs in Paris, and then Susan is actually most excited about a graveyard.
Yeah, gonna see where Jim Morrison is.
Ooh, that's cool. Okay, that is really cool.
Ducky, I'm glad you knew who that was because I had explained who he was to Logan when I talked to him about it.
You don't know who Jim Morrison was?
Okay.
I've forgotten since then, too. I thought you were talking about the Muppet guy.
That's Jim Henson.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yesterday, Logan says to me and Ross, the margarita guy. So this man does not know music, literally.
I mean,
I don't know
music either. At all.
You know who the margarita...
I also didn't know who
Jimmy
the guy...
Buffett.
Okay,
well, yeah, since yesterday. Well, of course I know who he is. I just can never think of his name.
You said something.
I was going to say, I don't know the Rage Against the Machine guy's name. So there you go.
I mean, I'm sure Travis will tell you my No Doubt stories.
Yes.
No Doubt what?
So there's a band called No Doubt. And Shiitake, you're familiar?
Yes, Gwen Stefani.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they have a song where... She says, and I won't say the word so you don't have to censor me, but she says, is bananas, and then she spells out B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Oh, yeah.
Before Susan knew about that, there was a show called The Office, and a character on The Office said to say is bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A, and she was doing that from the song, but Susan didn't know that. She thought that character just made that up.
Fair, she would have.
Kelly Kapoor is not Gwen Stefani.
Yes. No, but she would have made something like that up.
That she 100% would.
And the funniest thing is, like, we have some really good friends in Florida who are in a No Doubt tribute band. And I have to explain to Susan all the time, like, this is this song. Our friend Monica sings that.
You also had to explain to me what my hippo pajamas meant.
Yes. Susan loves hippos, and she saw a pair of pajamas that say my hippos don't lie.
I just got them because they were hippo pajamas.
Right, and I had to explain to her that was a song called Hips Don't Lie. But she knows Shakira.
Because she was in Zootopia. Not because of anything else.
So beyond the 80s, here is why Susan will know a band.
Oh, yeah.
Or an artist. Is number one, if they've ever done a James Bond song. If they've ever been in Disney, something to do with Disney. And then what's the movies that you watch?
Pitch Perfect.
If they've ever covered them on Pitch Perfect. That's how Susan will know an artist beyond the 80s.
Honestly, that's valid.
What's your favorite 80s band then?
I'm just going to be honest. I was a New Kids on the Block girl.
I was not into that kind of music.
Wasn't, but I'm also wasn't necessarily an 80s person. I was always a 50s or 60s girl.
Point out that what's that? The Shake the Hips from Forrest Gump. You know what I'm talking about?
What?
Come on.
You gotta give me like a smidge more, Logan.
He shakes the hips in the 50s.
Elvis?
Elvis?
Oh my god.
Big enough.
You know, we were married by Elvis. Yeah.
You were married by Elvis?
Yeah, and I think it was the real one, too. I think he was back from the dead.
Oh.
After he went to the bathroom on the toilet?
Yes, he did die on the toilet.
Logan,
that's crazy. So did you just like accidentally find Elvis and like,
no, we searched
marry
him
us,
out.
Or was
no,
it...
yeah, we found it like pre, and let me tell you, pre-internet, that's harder to do. That we had to find an Elvis. We had to find Elvis in Las Vegas and then book his services to come marry us. And also I was dressed as the Riddler and Susan was dressed as Catwoman. And it was so long ago that it, like the word cosplay didn't exist.
Asking those questions, huh? I don't know what the Riddler does besides ask riddles. Do you have a favorite riddle?
Oh my god!
I just want like, is that not a valid question for someone dressed as the Riddler?
Riddler,
there's more than one.
I do. Frank Gorshin is my favorite Riddler.
More than one person has played the Riddler.
Yeah,
I'm not a very big Batman guy. I guess. What can
Frank,
I say?
Frank Gorshin.
What do you?
Must be something inside.
Logan, you don't do musicals.
Did your love for the Riddler come from like a TV series, like the Adam West TV series?
Oh my god, you know who Adam West is?
Out of all of this!
But yes, I used to watch the Adam West Batman after school. And
same bat time, same bat
place? Yeah, same bat channel. Yeah.
It was close. I'm impressed.
Alan Napier was his name. There were a lot of really famous... Like, almost every villain was a famous actor or a famous performer of some sort.
I've noticed that's a problem with, like, Star Trek The Next Generation, where you're watching it and, like, it's you're just, just a random guy. And it's like, if you had watched it back in the day, you're like, oh, wow, that's super famous star LeBron James. I don't know, but, like,
that's who you
insert some famous actor.
Super famous star?
Sorry, I was thinking about the movie Airplane. So in the movie Airplane, the pilot, I think, is a basketball player.
Okay, who was it?
Are you
I don't know basketball players.
Naked Gun
I don't
and
know.
O.J. Simpson?
No.
No, I'm thinking of Airplane.
He's correct. I'm trying to get him to say who the basketball player was.
I have no idea. I literally know three basketball players.
Name them.
Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan... And Shaq. I think
that's
Shaq played basketball.
O'Neal. You just know Shaq twice.
Shaq and Shaquille O'Neal are the same person.
Well, I got Michael Jordan, too. He was in that movie with the bunny.
Space Jam.
Okay. Logan, can we make a segment on this podcast of Shiitake Tutu Logan pop culture? Because, my God.
Well, Shiitake, do you know who the basketball player was?
No, I've actually never seen the movie.
Okay, it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He writes TV shows now.
Yeah, he was a basketball star like when I was very young.
Yeah, that basketball stars are before my time, I guess.
I mean, I think there's still basketball stars now.
Well, like LeBron James.
Who was also in that movie with a bunny.
I do have a question that I would like to carry over from a question we asked Ross yesterday. What are your guys' favorite musicals?
I mean, my favorite of all time is Cats.
Oh, wow. With that comedian?
No. The actual
one.
Andrew Lloyd Webber. Stage show of Cats.
I can't think of his name, but...
You talking about James Corden?
James Corden.
No, we're talking about the actual on-Broadway
stage production of Cats.
I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie?
That's Susan?
No, actually, I haven't because I want to keep the musical nice in my head.
Probably a good idea.
And also, didn't that come out during COVID and like before COVID or something? And
I don't know. It's
like when movie theaters shut down. We used to go to the movie theater like every week, and now we don't ever go, except unless like there's something big.
Like we're going
out
next week, Travis.
Yes, because Spider-Man's coming out.
But is it what Spider-Man is it? Is it like a sequel to No Way Home with Tom Holland?
They kind of all are, well, kind of, not all of them, but the most recent ones in the last couple of years are kind of all its sequels.
Brand new days.
I haven't seen any. I've seen, of course, the Spider-Man with the one guy.
Tobey Maguire.
Maguire.
Andrew Garfield.
And I haven't seen any Spider-Mans after that. No, I haven't seen any of the Andrew Garfield ones.
I mean, that's okay.
If I had to name musicals that I like, of the ones I have seen in person, I would have to say Rocky Horror Picture Show or Spamalot.
Ooh, Spamalot's a good answer. I like that. I like that one too.
And it's actually Rocky Horror Show, not Picture Show. I always throw that picture in, but it's not.
You like Little Shop of Horrors.
I do like Little Shop of Horrors, but I have not seen that one in person. In order for me to enjoy a musical, it has to have a monster or a alien in it.
Puppet. You've said puppets.
That's valid.
Or puppets, yes.
My favorite one. My favorite is Hamilton. And Ross got very offended by that yesterday.
I have the perfect soundbite for that.
I hate Hamilton. You heard it here first.
Because I asked him if he was the Lin-Manuel Miranda of Renfrew.
I don't think he is.
Oh, he probably was offended by that, wasn't he?
He really was.
Moana and Encanto are great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like those.
He did the music for those.
Did you do the music for the live action Moana as well?
The same
I haven't seen
music.
That, but I've heard it's basically.
I think it's the same songs.
Yeah.
I think it's the same movie.
Yeah. Except this one has The Rock and a bad wig.
Do you have a favorite Disney movie?
Oh, really? Do we want to do animated? Do you want to do live action? What?
Sure, animated.
It changes a lot. I'm very big on Oliver and Company, Emperor's New Groove, Hercules. Cruella is my favorite character, so I do love 101 Dalmatians.
Ariel's your favorite princess.
Ariel's my favorite princess. And if we go to Pixar, it's Up.
I like Up a lot.
That makes me sad. But I have a very adorable pair of Cruella ears because I collect mini ears. And my entire Better Mall is full of them.
I have a lot of mini ears.
Oh, yeah. I have very cute Cruella ones that are fur.
That's the reason I bought a 3D printer was to 3D print my own ears.
That's a good. That's a very valid reason to buy a 3D printer.
It was the only thing she printed for like 2 years. Yeah. We go to Disney probably once a year because we do what's called Run Disney, which is Disney has like races. We'll do like a 10K or a half marathon, or like one time we did a marathon.
Yeah, but doing a marathon's how I have a 4 parks in 1 day badge.
Yeah, the marathon does take you through all 4 parks, but you don't really get to stop and see anything.
I did 4 parks in 1 day about two years ago? And that was not because of a marathon. That's because I was certifiable. It was rough, but it was so worth it. We were at Magic Kingdom until like 1 a.m. because it was extra magic hours. Mm-hmm. It was great.
We've done that before, too, where you go to the after-hours event because there's no one there. That's great.
That's the best time to ride Rise of the Resistance over in Hollywood Studios. It's when nobody's at the extra magic hours stuff. Yeah.
We're going to go down for the Christmas party this year.
How fun.
Between Ohio Renaissance Festival and Yuletide.
You're going to be wiped. I'm tired.
Can't stop, won't stop.
No.
You never slow down, you never grow old.
That's true. I tell my mom that because when she tells me to sit down, and I was like, no, Mom, can't.
Do you ever incorporate anything from your favorite musicals and movies and stuff like that into your stage act?
We have, actually, this year. So there's a new Masters of the Universe movie that came out this year, which is He-Man. They came out with the Sword of Power, which is his sword that he carries.
It's a He-Man's sword.
The handle unscrews, and there's a straw, and there's a reservoir in the sword that fills, well, any liquid, but we put water in it because it'd be very hard to clean anything else out of. And we did a gag where in the middle of all my sword swallowing routine, I said, oh, you've seen sword swallowing, now you're going to see sword drinking. And I have to take a drink out of the sword.
That's pretty good.
Have you ever had a time where the act has like gone completely wrong on you guys?
Oh, sure. The story I like telling the best When I started out fire eating, I was what's called a busker, which just means like a street performer. And there is a place called Newport on the Levee, kind of near Cincinnati, and they would have street performers in, but you had to audition. So I went and I auditioned, and I did what's called a hand transfer, where you transfer the flame. You know, basically, I lit the palm of my hand on fire, and I would transfer the flame. I got overzealous, and I put too much fuel on my hand, and it ran down the side of my hand and off the back of my hand. So when I lit my hand, normally, if you just light the palm, you close your hand, and the fire goes out. Well, because the back of my hand was on fire, when I opened my hand again, my whole hand was on fire again. And I'm auditioning. There's like the entertainment director for the facility and like the general manager of the facility are standing there watching me. How do I play this? I shook it and it's still on fire. And fortunately, I had like a wet towel there because that's like some of the safety things that fire performers have. And I just kind of whacked it on that and it finally went out. And I look up and both of them are horrified. And I'm like, ta-da! And I got the gig. I was able to go down the street perform there for a couple years.
So you didn't have to get certified in fire safety.
That is a very recent thing. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that or not.
Your escapades and getting the state government to let you use fire again?
So last year, the fire chief came to the Ohio Renaissance Festival on a day where one of the acts had a mishap. And this was not us, but one of the fire acts had a mishap where a prop broke. And the fire chief was like, huh, that could have been really dangerous. I wonder if there's some kind of law around like this. So he went and he looked it up and found out that Ohio, you're supposed to have what's called a flame exhibitionist or a flame exhibitor license. He said, hey, starting next year, everyone here needs to have this license. We are going to have the fire chief is going to have to come in the beginning of every weekend and inspect the area that we're performing. And in theory, inspect the props. I don't know that some of these, even if they're like a fire marshal and they know a lot about fire safety, are they going to be able to spot like, hey, that prop looks like it's pretty worn out. You need to replace it. And sometimes they don't show anywhere a tear at all until they break. I have had torches that looked fine in the middle of a show come unraveled. The process to get the license is also very convoluted. You have to have someone who has the license already write you a recommendation letter. Then you have to have an FBI background check. And then once you get all that, the state fire marshal says, okay, you're approved to take the test. You go and take its test, which is on this 37-page document of regulation or of like, not really regulations, but of like fire stuff that doesn't really have a whole lot to do with what we do. It's more about like automated systems of fire that you would see like in a theme park or something. Then you pass that. And then, like, 4 days later, you get, like, an email with your license code. My question is if you have to have someone recommend you, who got the first license?
That is a very valid question.
How did the first person get their license if someone else had to recommend them? Did they get someone from out of state that they had a license already? Or there are a few other states that require the license. And fortunately, they all use the same set of regulations. So if I were to go to, say, and I don't know that Florida has this law or not, but if I went to Florida and they said, hey, you need a license, and I say, oh, I'm licensed in Ohio, they would say, okay, well, we recognize that. It's like a driver's license. It's good in any state that requires it.
Do you think that's going to help you in long term get more gigs, or are you planning on not like pulling back on the number of shows you're doing in the future?
We have pulled back a little bit. Like, we pulled back a lot for a little bit, and then I bought a new truck, and then I said, well, we need to do some more gigs to pay this truck payment. Also, Susan has a very expensive Disney habit. We do more gigs so that we can do that more. We can, and you know, go to Paris. And like I said, we're going to be going to Disney for the Halloween party. And then we're also going to be going to Universal then. And we did a Disney cruise earlier this year. I got to keep working so that Susan can maintain her habit. I did a fair in Oklahoma that was at a casino where the owners of the casino went to a Renaissance festival and said, hey, we could do this on our property, and they did.
Did that work out well, having a festival?
It was okay. So that festival was odd because... So I did the Tonight Show back in 2008. Back as Jay Leno was still the host, if you guys remember who Jay Leno was.
Hi, Jay Leno. The car guy.
They called me up, and they're like, hey, we want you to come on. And I said, great. I was like, just to let you know, I have this casino gig this day. So if we could do it like not Friday, that'd be great. And they're like, okay, we'll get back to you. And they called back and they're like, hey, good news. It's going to be Friday. I had to fly out to California. It's like a 2-day process because you go in and you do like a dress rehearsal kind of thing. I wrote some jokes for Jay Hughes while I was on stage with him. The next day you shoot the actual episode. Then Friday night after I was done filming, I got on a red eye. That got me as far as Dallas, I think. So I went into Dallas-Fort Worth, and then I had to go fly out first thing in the morning from Dallas-Fort Worth to Oklahoma City, where my brother picked me up at the airport, and we went and did the festival. So I got like 3 hours of sleep after doing the Tonight Show before I could do the do this casino gig. But it turned out pretty neat. It was, they had like this big outdoor kind of amphitheater where they would have bands and stuff play. And instead of using the big stage, they'd set it up like a Renaissance festival with the vendors and different little stages everywhere. So that was kind of cool. It was like a little one weekend. Like if you ever go to like a one weekend festival, it was set up kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still do the Astro Viking Festival every year. That's a really cool one. That one helps out the community a lot because instead of admission price, you bring a can of food or some kind of non-perishable food item for the food pantry.
I have never seen so much food donated.
I think it was 2 tons this year of food.
Like, it's amazing.
They load up a 6x8 trailer.
Like, 4 times a day. 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah.
Each day.
Yeah, 4 or 5 per day. Yeah. So, and they take that out to the, you know, to the pantry. Lady who runs it, she also has the Vikings Horde at the Ohio Renaissance Festival. Her name's Nancy. She used to be a principal of the elementary school there, so she really knows the community very well. OSU used to have a Renaissance Festival, like a one-day festival that we would do. I think I said that we did a couple guest weekends at the Tennessee Renaissance Festival. We've never gone on there full-time, though. That's a hard one to get into. They joke that someone has to die before they hire a new act there, so I'm not wishing death on anyone. We used to do steampunk conventions at this daddy a lot. There used to be Cincinnati Steampunk Symposium, which that doesn't happen anymore, but I helped run that and I would perform at it.
I actually went to the Steampunk Symposium, I think in 2022 or 2021.
Yeah.
And it was, the one I went to was at a hotel.
Yes.
And I don't know if it's always been at a hotel, but that year it was.
I left that convention in 2019 before I knew COVID was going to happen. And then COVID happened and I was like, wow, I picked a really good year to leave. And the 2021, some people had a sore spot about it because when it got canceled in 2020, instead of refunding anyone who wanted a refund, they just said, you can come next year for free. And obviously, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Some people can't come that day, that weekend, whatever. So there was a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of sore things. So I was kind of glad that I had separated from that festival at that, or that convention at that time.
Everybody boo me now. I've never seen Shawshank Redemption.
It's amazing.
I know. I knew about the movie, but me and Mallory, my counterpart Shrimp the Fawn, are walking through downtown Mansfield because we're trying to kill time before the prison opens, and we just find this random ass carousel.
Yep. Uh-huh.
In the middle of the town.
Yeah. You can ride that when you do the race.
That's amazing. That it was like, it's like, I don't know, 9-10 a.m. and we're just riding this carousel with a bunch of tiny children in the middle of this town in the middle of nowhere. It's the most side quest thing we've ever done in our whole lives. I got really freaked out in the basement, or not the basement, the solitary, that's what it was. God, it was early, it was like right when they opened, so me and Mallory were like the only people in this prison, and we're walking through and like, I swear to God, something touched me. It was awful. It was so cool, though. Like, we're walking through solitary, and it's like, we both just, we were only people in solitary, too. And we ran. We did the whole thing, but we ran.
Loveland Castle. Have you guys been there?
Yes, I grew up in Loveland. So, We actually did a photo shoot for the Spoon Society at the Loveland Castle.
They used to have a monthly Renaissance Festival, like, from spring to fall. The people who ran it kind of, they, like, dropped out of the Knight Society that runs the place, and the people that were left didn't have any interest in keeping it going. We used to run events there But the problem was the parking lot was so small that you get like more than 100 people there and there's nowhere to park.
Yeah, and trying to get down there from like anywhere to park anywhere else is just awful. I'm so sad. I lived there for 26 years of my life and I had no idea that that was a thing at the castle.
I mean, you know, there was like maybe 7 or 8 vendors and then 3 different acts that rotated on the little stage back there. And every once in a while, you'd have like one musician playing like up in the front courtyard part. It was very much like you came for like an hour or two and then you would just leave and then like a new crowd would come in later.
Those gardens they have there are absolutely gorgeous, though. Yeah. Like they do a phenomenal job on the grounds.
Yeah.
I haven't actually had a chance to visit Loveland Castle yet. I've heard a lot of things about it, but it's on my list of places to go at some point.
Oh. As someone who grew up there, definitely go.
Very, very cool to explore. You could take some really good pictures there too, Logan. The first time I talked to Logan in person and not just on Facebook, we were at the Hockey Heels Renaissance Festival. And I said, oh, hey, this is in your town, right? And he's like, no, I don't live here. But then he didn't realize the town that it's in was called Logan, Ohio.
Oh, you make a Travis joke.
I did. Like, this is your place.
That festival was definitely an interesting one, Hocking Hills. I only went there, I maybe only went on one day, but I think I went both Saturday and Sunday because it was at the brewery. Yes. I think it was the first year they did it, but I don't know. It might have been the second year.
The year that I saw you, it was the second year they had done it. So we're taking a year off from that this year because we're doing the Lexington Renaissance Fair down in Lexington, Kentucky at Masterson Park. That's the week before that, the Hocking Hills, and Hocking Hills is the week before Ohio starts. So if we did both of them, I would have no time to go to Ohio and set up.
That's like the dress rehearsal weekend, so it's very hard and rare for me to not do something other than the dress rehearsal weekend, you know, so.
We're usually like setting things up while the dress rehearsal's going on around us.
Okay, well, I need to know Susan's opinion about the Muppet area closing and Muppet Vision 3D going
that
away.
Does make me sad, but I am so excited for the Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster.
I am
that,
too.
Like, I'm okay. And they're putting a Monsters Inc. roller coaster in where the Muppets were, and my cat's named Boo. Ooh. So yay.
Although me and my mom's favorite restaurant on Disney property was Mama Melrose. Yeah. So we are very depressed. About it.
I mean, Pizza Rizzo wasn't great, but it's wrap pizza. What do you want?
Yeah, but Mama Melrose, I don't know. That place was just so good. Some of the best pasta I've ever had in my life.
Sad for the Muppet Theater to go away, Muppet 3D Vision, or Muppet Vision 3D, rather, because it was one of the last things Jim Henson worked on.
But they might put it in the Muppet area. Like, they're hinting that it's going somewhere.
Well, they also did a, like, theatrical... They filmed it and they're going to release it on Disney Plus, I think.
Oh, yay. My mom will be so happy. She loved the whole Muppet area and she was just so sad when it went away. Like when we were sitting at Mama Melrose, like a couple weeks after they announced the closing of everything. And she was just like crying over her spaghetti and meatballs. She's like, it's not going to happen ever again. I'm like, Mom, you need to chill. We're in public.
The Electric Mayhem is so much better than Aerosmith.
Oh, yeah.
The band.
Oh, definitely.
I've heard of Aerosmith. I can't name any songs Aerosmith have made, but I know the band.
Walk This Way.
Do you know The Electric Mayhem?
I know Walk This Way. Walk This Way.
That's Aerosmith. Brr,
brr, brr. Well, Travis.
I know. Yeah.
Aerosmith, but it might also be Run DMC.
Aerosmith never made that song.
I don't. I have no idea. I literally can't tell you. I actually don't know if that actually is an Aerosmith.
It is an Aerosmith song. It's an Aerosmith song, and then Run DMC covered it.
I don't know who Run DMC
That's
is.
A rap group. But Susan had a dumb roommate in college who said that Aerosmith never did that song. It was a Run DMC song.
And I'm like, Steven Tyler's in the video. He's the lead singer of Aerosmith.
Oh my God.
You got to do a whole episode to talk to him.
It's Liv Tyler's dad.
I need to. I need to do a whole episode of me just asking him, like, who people are, pop culture questions, stuff like that. And he just like, I'm just explaining this all.
You should get like a pop culture trivia flashcards and just ask him stuff off of that and then tell him the backstory when he doesn't know.
That'd probably be pretty much anything. See, you should ask me Taylor Swift. I actually know Taylor Swift lore.
Are you kidding me?
Like the sixth song is... Logan, like, I know, like, the fifth song is always, like, a love, secret love song, you know?
Can we please, okay, here's why that's very funny to me. Me and my mom are very big Swifties, so, like, can we please have my mom on this podcast just to talk to you about Taylor Swift? Because that would be,
I feel he's going to make your mom mad.
Probably, but it'd be funny.
Yeah, well, she's married to Travis Kelce now, so, and I thought it was fake, but apparently they actually got married with Adam Sandler. I thought that was an AI-generated photo, but no, it's real.
So, a fun fact about Taylor Swift is that she used to be a babysitter for a wrestler called Jeff Jarrett's kids. So, if you don't know wrestling, you have no idea who any of that is.
Nope,
means,
but, no clue.
He's a big guy in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, his family ran like the territory in Nashville area for many years.
Have a perfect soundbite.
Travis and I can give you wrestling facts all you want.
We had a whole This Friday Night segment.
Yeah, we did.
John Cena.
Oh, he's Post Malone.
I know who Post Malone is.
Wow.
Again.
He's a rapper.
I thought that's a dumb question. You don't know who
he's
Jim
a rapper.
Morrison is, but you know who Post Malone is?
I know
I mean,
of
I don't
Jim
feel
Morrison.
There's an entire movie starring Kyle MacLachlan about Post Malone. There is about
I don't
Jim
know who
Morrison.
Kyle MacLachlan is.
I would more say that Val Kilmer starred in that movie, though, Susan.
Whatever.
I know you like Kyle MacLachlan better, but...
He was Rain Man's Eric.
I have not seen Rayman.
It's not Rain Man.
Oh, you just said he's Rain Man's better person.
Rain Man's Eric, who was a person in the Doors.
He's the keyboard player.
Oh, that's a band. I know the Doors is a band.
And Jim Morrison was the lead singer.
What? Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the Muppets guy again. I was like, I didn't know the Muppets guy was in the band The Doors.
Oh my God.
I was very confused for a second about why the guy from the Muppets was in The Doors.
I thought you had a full circle moment, but clearly you did not.
No, wait, do you know who Val Kilmer is?
Yeah, he's from Top Gun.
And The Doors.
Movie. And The Doors.
The Doors movie.
Oh, is he?
Wait, he was in the movie, yeah.
Oh. Okay, I thought he was in the band for a second. I was like, really? I couldn't name a The Doors song, but...
He was also in Willow. He was in Willow, if you want to go back to, like, Ren Faire kind of stuff.
I haven't actually... I've seen the first 10 minutes of Willow. It's on my list of things to go and watch.
Yeah, that list is getting longer and longer by the second, dude.
Add The Doors.
I know.
Come and see the PB&J Circus at the Ohio Renaissance Festival 4 times a day. We don't know what the stage is going to be called yet.
No idea.
But it's going to be just inside the front gate. Go straight ahead. It'll be on your left before you get to Marco Polo and the Y Bridge.
And you can get a mystery bag that could contain something I made while making this podcast.
Yes.
Ooh.
And also a themed button that didn't sell out the weekend before.
Yep. What those mystery bags are. Old buttons and a 3D printed thing to help you open soda cans.
Fancy.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on this episode, Susan and Travis. It was really great to have you guys.
Yep. Follow us on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. Yeah, PB&J Circus on Instagram and Facebook, Circus Travis on TikTok.
Awesome. Well, hopefully you guys had a good time on here, and hopefully everyone listening had a good time. And this episode may be 10 minutes long or an hour and 50 minutes long.
I just want to see how much of Logan not knowing pop culture is going to make it into the podcast.
All of it.
All of it. None of it.
All of it.
We'll find out. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.